This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Each year, the Over the Rhine Chamber celebrates outstanding individuals and businesses that have contributed to the ever-growing revitalization of Over the Rhine and to those folks who are dedicated to the Over the Rhine community. The event will be at the Horseshoe Casino this year on April 7th, and this year's keynote is National Geographic Traveler writer Andrew Nelson. In the April issue of National Geographic Traveler, Andrew wrote what could almost be described as a love letter to Cincinnati, and he is joining me via Skype from his home in New Orleans to talk about that article and his next visit to Cincinnati. Good afternoon, and welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Mark. I'm really happy to be here. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You mentioned in the article that you began hearing about Cincinnati when you were down in New Orleans. What was the word you were hearing down in New Orleans about Cincinnati, and who were you hearing this from?
Well, what was going on was basically being a writer for National Geographic Traveler, you end up sort of cupping your ears towards lots of different voices. And what I was reading and seeing was basically that Cincinnati seemed to be stirring. There seemed to be some good reports coming up. There was a documentary film about Over the Rhine. I have a big network of friends and other writers who were saying, I'm hearing interesting things about Cincinnati and about the Midwest in general. And we'll get to that in a minute, because I think there's several really interesting trends that are happening right now for reurbanization of the Midwest. And I thought that maybe, discussing this with my editors in Washington, D.C., that there would be a city in the Midwest that would be worth checking out. And I thought that that city was Cincinnati. So I asked if I could go, and being editors for National Geographic Traveler, they said, yes, go ahead and do it. Let's see what's there. So I went, and I filed a report, and I was very enthusiastic about what I was seeing in Cincinnati, visited Over the Rhine, and we'll get to that a little bit later, and just thought there was so much good, positive energy coming out of your city at this time.
Did you have any perception of Cincinnati, or what was your preconception of Cincinnati before you started hearing these good things?
It was a four-letter word, WKRP.
Yes. In Cincinnati, that's what we're doing, living on the air here. So that's the extent of your knowledge.
As a kid, I remember that there was a sitcom, and so that was what I remembered about Cincinnati, the Reds and the Bengals, of course, but not too much else. Cincinnati always seemed to be a nice place. You know how people always say, oh, that's a nice place, and they put quotation marks around the word nice, and you're not really sure what that they mean, except maybe unexceptional, a little bland, something like that. But I'm enough of a traveler, I think, to know that there's always a fascinating story anywhere you go, and Cincinnati has hundreds of them.
Well, you're going to be the keynote speaker at the Over the Rhine Chamber's annual Star Awards Luncheon coming up on Monday, April 7th, and that's because you talk a lot about Over the Rhine in your article in the April issue of National Geographic Traveler, and you spent, or at least from the article, Andrew, it appears you spent quite a bit of time in Over the Rhine.
I did. I kept coming back to it because I think Over the Rhine is your city's, I guess you would say, it's pot of gold. Living in New Orleans, we're very used to the French Quarter, of course, and that's what people come here to see. And when I was walking around Over the Rhine, what I was seeing was a neighborhood the size of the French Quarter with the same number of historic buildings. Now, granted, yours are Italianate and ours down here are French colonial buildings, but the extent and the depth of what was still there, you have an entire neighborhood that was basically preserved and which was coming back. And, what the French Quarter has done for New Orleans and its reputation and as a travel destination, I think quite easily, this could become a great economic engine for Cincinnati. Now, before I scare anybody who actually lives in Over the Rhine and says, wait, no, 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 I don't want lots of tourists. I want to be clear and say that it seems what's really great about Over the Rhine is that people are coming to live in Cincinnati. They're buying homes, they're homesteading there, they're restoring places, they're committing themselves to a section of your city that's really quite livable and walkable and all of those things we talk about when we look for what makes cities interesting.
And you say this is a part of a trend here in the Midwest, because you mentioned in the article that there's a parade of heartland towns from Milwaukee to Indianapolis now marching to a different beat. And, well, of course, we here in Cincinnati think Cincinnati's the best among that bunch. What's your perspective as a National Geographic traveler writer?
Well, I've been to all of those cities, and I've seen them all. And I must say that Cincinnati is one of those cities that has soul. There's a lot of soul in your city. There's it's an ineffable quality. You can't quite put your finger on it, but it's the way people treat each other. It's the way people talk about their city. Cincinnatians are very, very proud of Cincinnati, and they should be, with good reason. And I think that there was a time, I think, when people weren't so proud of Cincinnati. Proud that they were, but, it wasn't getting what you would say good press. There had been some race riots. You had the Mapplethorpe incident. All of these things, I think, probably hurt people's perception of Cincinnati. And that's too bad, because if you actually go there, as I did, you see that it's got this amazing, the people have an amazing quality, amazingly friendly. They know how to have a good time. There's a sense of humor in Cincinnati that I think is very expressive. It can be boisterous, as I'm sure many of your Bengal and Red home games are. So all of that gives your city a sense of soul, along with the texture of your city. It really was a city that flowered in the 1830s, so it's walkable. It's densely packed. You have a strong civic structure. You have the ability to really get things done. I think people cooperate there. So there's this really great spirit. And I understand that there was something, you even have a Mardi Gras too, called Bachfest.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And I hear that that's very serious, and people are just very, very, take themselves very seriously during that festival.
Well, of course, beer, very much a part of Cincinnati's history. I'm speaking with Andrew Nelson. He is the writer from National Geographic Traveler, who wrote an article that's in the April edition of that magazine about his visit to Cincinnati and how much he really liked our city. We're talking to him via Skype from his home in New Orleans. And I wanted to ask, you mentioned it's walkable. You mentioned the architecture, the people. What else did you like about Cincinnati? What else really stood out for you as someone who travels around so much?
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. One thing is you have an amazing hotel there, the 21C. I thought, I kept sort of looking at myself going, this is in Cincinnati. This could be in New York or London. Very sophisticated art. I think they're doing wonderful things by restoring that building. They have a great restaurant. I'm not always a huge fan of hotel restaurants, because I always sometimes believe they're add-ons, but the Metropole was really tasty. And I thought that, so the that hotel was one thing. One of the other things, I was speaking of restaurants, one of my favorite restaurants was actually over the river, and I need to give a shout out to La Mexicana in Newport, because I had an amazing Mexican meal there. It was great. And then I guess Local 127, Take the Cake, Boca. I feel like I should mention all of those, because those were really great meals. Kaze.
I think you mentioned the Senate too in your article.
Senate, yes, exactly. They have a very cool bar. I love that sort of elongated Art Deco-y kind of bar. I mean, that's an example, I guess, of what I'm talking about. Cincinnati has good bones. You say that about horses. You can say that about supermodels. You can say that about Cincinnati. The architecture there is really just stunning, from the Hilton Cincinnati Netherland Plaza Hotel. It was just you know, the jazz age come to life thing. I swore I saw The Great Gatsby and I thought they had filmed it there. It was so over the top, that interior, you know. And then, of course, Union Station and all those amazing museums you have. I think that in itself, I really, really love the 7,000 square foot model of Cincinnati from the 1940s. Just, I loved it. When I was there, there was a guy who was cleaning it. I didn't realize that, you know, he has to dust it, of course. So he's looking like Godzilla, of course. In the 1940s, he's got this little tiny sort of, I don't know, it looked like a water pick. And he's dusting, you know, the all the buildings. I thought that was pretty funny. My photographer, by the way, Melissa Farbo, I've got to give a great shout. Melissa's great. Ms. Farlow has shot a few of my stories, one on Detroit, and just really enjoy working with her.
You talk to a lot of transplants to Cincinnati, someone from New York, someone from San Francisco, and they really expound and compliment the city to you. Is the fact that some of the locals don't tout Cincinnati as much as they are just because we're so used to dealing with it? Or did you find the locals willing to gush about the city as much as these transplants?
Well, I did talk to a lot of locals. I think that what separates transplants, and this happens a lot in New Orleans as well, since I'm a transplant here, you find that transplants who grew up someplace else have a little bit more objective view on where they are now. So Peggy Shannon, who is great, I love her. As a journalist, you always look for somebody who can just sum it all up. And Peggy did. She said something like, "Cincinnati's gone from musty to must see." By the way, those cookies she makes are really awesome. Oh my gosh!
Yes, those chocolate chipotle cookies. Mm-mm-mm.
You have some of those, and you have to like take the stairs up Mount Adam, you know, just to work it all off. But I think the entire view that that a transplant has is that they've grown up someplace else. They can maybe look at it a little more objectively. And the very fact that they're there is because they love it. There's something that they've really connected with about Cincinnati, and I can see that. You know, the town is one of the. It's almost, if you think about it, Mark, you've got a city that's got a very walkable downtown. You've got the hills all around it. You have a dense urban fabric. You're getting a streetcar after a long and serious debate. And, you know, you've got everything that you need for a real revival in downtown Cincinnati, which I think will be very encouraging to those people who worry about the loss of tax base or the loss of young people who moved to other places. Now you're in sort of the position where people want to come to you. It's interesting. We're seeing this in New Orleans a lot right now, too. A lot of 20-somethings are coming from either coast. I think that you'll probably be experiencing the same thing.
Well, I want to ask, now that you visited Cincinnati, what you've been telling other people as you run into them and what their reaction is when you say, you know, Cincinnati's great, what do they usually say, huh?
They go, WKRP, that place? I see a lot of interest, especially, depends on how old or what generation. If you talk to millennials, the first thing that they'll ask you is, you know, what's rent there? Can you buy a house? It's true. I mean, I have a nephew who lives in New York City. He's working one of those startups, and his rent is like $3,000 a month. And I mean, you know, coming out with college loans, trying to make it on your own. Of course, he's got roommates, obviously. But at some point, you have to look up from your 20s or in your 30s saying, hey, I want to have a family. I want a real life, or I want some space. I don't want to give up a lot of the things that I like. A big, large city, the density, the ability to walk places, the culture, the music, the food. Where else is there? And I saw that. I mean, as a matter of fact, I interviewed Nick DeWald, who has the City Flea Market. City Flea, I believe, is the name. And he and his wife moved back from Brooklyn to Cincinnati because they could start and maintain, they could start a family and not have to give up a lot. I mean, when you really look at how much, you know, real estate may be driving a lot of these decisions that young people have now. leaving the coasts and trying to find a dense urban fabric with lots of interesting things and culture and a strong identity, then, you know, you look at what you have in Cincinnati and you're just like, wow, that's what we should be marketing to the rest of the world.
So towards the end of your article in the April issue of National Geographic Traveler, you mentioned having your assumptions confounded by your visit to Cincinnati. What was it that you had assumed when you visited?
I had assumed that before I visited, that Cincinnati was viewing all of these new things that were coming up from over the Rhine or downtown as something that was almost incidental. But when I got there, I really realized how committed so many people in Cincinnati are into redeveloping and reurbanizing Cincinnati. So the participation, for example, by many of the private businesses with the city itself to create or sow the seeds for a revival was just very impressive. And their concern, especially in Over the Rhine, to lessen some of the impacts that can happen with gentrification was really heartening to see. So I was really sort of pleased to see that coming there, there was this plan and people were executing and in getting excited about what was changing and enthusiasm. There's so much enthusiasm in Cincinnati. You guys are just natural optimists down there on the Ohio.
We do our best, except during those hard winters. Well, before I have to let you go, I want to ask what you are planning to see when you come back in April, when you're going to be the keynote speaker at the annual meeting and Star Awards luncheon for the Over the Rhine Chamber. What are you looking most forward to visiting again here in Cincy?
I think I need to get another Belgian waffle from the Taste of Belgium. Those things are darn awesome, Mark, I have to tell you. And also, I want to go visit some of your parks, which I'm hoping in April will have banished the polar vortex and will be in full bloom. Good hiking trails, I am told. And maybe biking. I know that there's an Over the Rhine bicycle club that is prospering and doing all sorts of cool things. So I'll have to read the blog. And that's the other thing. I think it's called OTRmatters.com. The guy Seth Manny, who writes it, does a great job documenting that neighborhood. He should be Mr. Over the Rhine.
Well, I appreciate the kind words and so glad you were so pleased with your visit to Cincinnati. Look forward to your next visit here in just a week or so.
Okay.
Andrew Nelson, a writer with National Geographic Traveler. His article about Cincinnati is in the April issue of National Geographic Traveler. We have a link for it on our website, wvxu.org. Andrew will be in town for the 2014 annual meeting and Star Awards luncheon of the Over the Rhine Chamber, Monday, April 7th. You'll also find a link if you would like to go to that luncheon. You'll find a link to the reservation site through our website.